The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. We all know what that drum solo is about.
Hello, everyone. This is definitely the Final Play Podcast, but this is our NFL preview of the 2022-2023 season. Yeah, everyone should know what that is. So we'll probably do this in two pods. We'll do an AFC and an NFC because, you know, being that there's 32 teams, unlike the NRL, there's a lot more teams to go through. So we'll try to squeeze in
three intervals
if we can, but
yeah. This off season has been insane. Like, you know, big name players being traded. There's just been cash being thrown around all over the place. Like, you know, I think it's like seven of the eight highest paid wide receivers all got signed this year.
Yeah, if you're a wide receiver in the NFL, then you are sitting on easy street going ahead. If your contract's coming up, because
it's all about do you know what I mean? It's timing as well. Like, and that happens with the quarterback market as well. Like, it's all about timing. It'll be somebody is the next in line to get a large contract, and then that'll be the precedence, and then. Yeah, in a couple of years, another big name quarterback will come up, and then they'll be the highest paid. So it's like a little bit of one-upmanship, but you know the NFL salary cap isn't growing by leaps and bounds to accommodate all this. So unfortunately, it just means that unfortunately the little people of the league are the ones that end up suffering.
Yeah, I mean, just on the quarterback, I don't think anyone's going to come close to Mahomes' $50 million a year, not for a while at least.
You know, but that's the thing.
$500 million deal.
That's with incentives as well. Like, that's if he meets all incentives as well. Like, I think the totality of the contract is 500. But I think if he doesn't meet any of the incentives, you know, like Super Bowl MVP for the regular season, stuff like that, I think it's about 430, which is kind of really nothing to sneeze at anyway. But, you know, he's obviously got incentive targets to meet there as well. And, like I said, I guess we'll sort of discuss it once we get to a certain Cleveland Browns team on why on earth they decided to pay somebody with questionable moralities such an insanely large guaranteed contract. Every single dollar of that contract is guaranteed. And another certain division rival quarterback I think he thinks he's in the ballpark of that as well. So we'll get into that. Like you said, we'll hit it with the AFC first, I guess.
We'll start with the AFC East, and I mean, I'm going alphabetical here, and this just happens to be the first teams, the proverbial favorites to win the Super Bowl this year, and that would be the Buffalo Bills.
There's some hype around the Bills.
Well, 11-6 record last year. That Kansas City and Buffalo game was one of the best games I've seen in years. I mean, I think everybody's been saying that. It was a ridiculously good game.
And then the infamous 12 seconds happen.
That's exactly right. But I honestly think if they snuck through that game, because of their defense, I think they could have beat the Bengals and have a really good shot at the Rams, personally. That's absolutely what I was thinking. Just with their defense. I mean, they are proverbial favorites because they haven't ridiculously good defense, even though they decided to still beef that up and add Von Miller, which is insane in itself.
Super Bowl, had two-time Super Bowl champion Von Miller. You know, that's it's a bit of a strange contract too. It's like 6 years, 120 mil, 51 guaranteed, but a $45 million signing bonus.
So he, you know, that's, you know, and he's 33, I believe, at the moment. So it's not a small contract.
No,
so he's built for long term there. He's definitely built for long term.
He may think he's built for long term there, but you know, we know what the NFL does to bodies. Like, the body can break down rather quickly.
Look, I think for me, their biggest, it's not so much a team, their biggest, we'll see how they go to get to where they need to in the Super Bowl, will be their first year offensive coordinator coach, Ken Dorsey, because Brian
that's right.
moved obviously to the New York Giants. That's where I think that's a wait and see. But if they get through these games, you know, these first few games, and Ken Dorsey is his offense is smashing it, then you know they have to be the favorites to me.
It's hard to see.
Josh Allen's amazing.
No, that's right, and that's the fuel for the fire. There is Josh Allen. You know, a little bit of heartbreak from last year. They're like you said, defensively, they'll be really good. I think again, the start of the season, Tre'Davious White is actually on the IR, so he has to or he will miss at least the first 4 weeks. Whether or not that will hurt them too much.
Well, it'd be interesting, but that was what they suffered. Their secondary was their suffering last year.
No, that's right.
At least in that Kansas game. So,
And most secondaries are gonna you know, be stretched when you play Kansas City anyway. So, I don't think that's sort of a majorly glaring hole in what, you know, in what they'll do. So, well, I guess they're overwhelming. Well, not overwhelming, but yeah, they're very much AFC favorites. I think their win total over and under is like 11.5. I reckon they'll go way over that.
Yeah,
I reckon this year they'll just so. Well, and to say that too, like, you know, the AFC East could be quite strong this year, from maybe the New York.
The AFC East, but I just said the AFC in general is going to be just that.
Oh yeah, no, exactly.
It's going to be. Seventh spot, the sixth and seventh spot's going to be so hard to get this year in the AFC.
Absolutely.
Next team is the AFC. This is one of the most peculiar teams of what they've done in everything this year, and that's the Miami Dolphins. I mean,
wow, they are. Have we got enough time to sort of discuss about?
new coach. Mike McDaniels
from the Kyle Shanahan tree.
Yes. I mean, look, it's hard to go past, obviously, their biggest addition, which is Tyreek Hill.
That's right.
They only spent three first on him, so and gave him a nice juicy pay rise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that 4 year extension was definitely. A nice little prize at the end of the trade for that with the Kansas City Chiefs. You just couldn't. That was just such an amazing trade to start with. Like, that just sort of set alight the NFL offseason this year with that. That was mind numbing.
Yeah. I don't think this was a catalyst. We'll talk about it. What I think the catalyst of the wide receiver. You know, freight train of money, where it started. I don't think it was Tariq Hill, but you know, as an elite wide receiver, I think he was the first one that went, okay, if I'm an elite wide receiver, I need to get paid like Tariq Hill, and then that's where it started from in the elite. But I think we know where it started from, and that's another team that had to pay overs anyway for a wide receiver.
No, well, that's true.
Did you think? A sneaky addition that sort of didn't really get mentioned was Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, look, I think
I know he's getting up there in age, but I don't know. Just a sneaky sort of.
I like what he does.
Defensive. Yeah, I do too. It just swept under the rug, but it wasn't really talked about. I mean, not when Tyreek Hill goes there, of course.
No,
but...
that's right. Yeah, that's that, and along with and Chase Edmonds going there as well. Like they've got a plethora of running backs at the moment. Like they had that many on that roster that they had to let go Sony Michel. So that was a bit of a not so much a strange one. They just had way too many on their roster, and they had no choice but to sort of can him. But look, yeah, they've tried to beef up the offensive line a little bit as well. You know, they signed Terron Armstead. I think they gave him like a 5-year contract, which was massive.
Yeah.
So yeah, they offloaded Devontae Williams Parker. Well.
Yeah.
I thought that was big for them
that they signed. So just to give that protection too. I mean, this person's the key of them. If he plays well, they're going to do better than their 9-8 record, and that's Tua. If Tua can play well with protection, and they've invested heavily in him, or at least to succeed, not in him yet. He hasn't got a contract yet. If he can do well, they may shock people. That's my gut feeling, is they may shock people.
They're giving him the weapons to be able to succeed. I still think they could probably do a little bit better on the O-line. You really, really want to protect him. So I think you want to know what he is. He's not a really good scrambler or anything like that. He does like the pocket. So I think they want to give him as much protection as humanly possible. Things that sort of, you know, come out throughout the offseason that I'd sort of heard rumors, and whether they were actually true or not, that especially with all the Brian Flores lawsuit and everything that come out basically after the season ended. We had the 40-day retirement of Tom Brady, which wasn't really going to be a retirement of such. It was, you know, lots of New England fans were getting upset that he wasn't saying goodbye to them. He was really only saying goodbye to Tampa because he was going to be the quarterback for these Miami Dolphins if Brian Flores lawsuit doesn't totally nuke the deal. That is from what I've heard from podcasts that are based in Miami. That was as a done deal as it was going to be. They were offering him things like executive status after he was playing, all sorts of bells and whistles for him, but that they essentially had Tom Brady there.
Oh, and because he wanted a part of the Miami Dolphins. He wanted to be a part
right.
owner.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was the biggest I still think it's his biggest, what he wants to do. I believe that's what he wants to do. So,
it was a bit odd that he wanted to trade the West Coast of Florida for the East Coast of Florida. Like it was.
Well,
it's a bizarre, but like you said,
Miami,
he's. No, that's right. It's
Miami,
it's,
Tampa Bay. I mean, I know which one you would pick, Miami or Tampa Bay. I know which one you would
pick. No, but the thing is, it's. He wants, what does he want for the end of his career? Like, we can talk about that when we get to Tampa, but it was such a bizarre situation. I'm just trying to think of the Miami Dolphins owner off the top of my head, but I can't think of it. All of these meetings and everything that were all done, and they all got exposed. Yeah. And
Stephen Ross. Yeah, he was the one that violated the anti-tampering.
That's right. Didn't they fine him like $1 million or something like that? But they stripped him of a heap of his like responsibilities as an owner, which I think will hurt him a little bit. There's things like he can't be involved in team activities until mid-October, all sorts of stupid things like that. But they fined him like. It was some ludicrous amount, like $1 million or something like that. Somebody like Stephen Ross wouldn't bend over to pick up $1 million off the ground.
Well, that's what I mean. But see, it wasn't only Tom Brady he was trying to lure. He was trying to lure Sean Payton.
He was trying to get Sean Payton as well.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton was still under contract with the Saints. Like, what a dumbass.
So, they did lose a first-round pick. So, they're three first rounds away now. So, they have to do good with Tua.
They're
not going to get a quarterback unless they go free agency. Their record 9-8, I think they're a 10-win team. I really do.
I think they could improve with an improvement with an improved Jalen Waddle as well. Another year.
He's just as quick as Tyreek.
Exactly.
He's just as quick as Tyreek. He's fast. So good luck trying to catch those two.
Exactly. Cheetah 1 and Cheetah 2.
Next team is the New York Jets. The 4-13 last year, New York Jets. I mean, they had a pretty good draft. I will give them that. They had a decent sort of draft. They picked up Garrett
Wilson.
That's right.
Look, Garrett Wilson was such a good pickup for them at the 10th pick. They needed help on the outside there, with their receiving core. And obviously they need to try and protect, I think, Zach Wilson a little bit more because, he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year. He missed a few games last year. So, they've invested in him. So it's the same as the Tua situation. You need to, if you want him to succeed, you need to give him the time to succeed.
But it wasn't just him. It was Breece Hall who they picked up. And they also picked up Sauce Gardner, corner, and Jermaine Johnson. So they had a pretty healthy they had the four picks in the top 36 picks, so they had a pretty healthy draft. I think you did say. I think they're not just their offense; their whole team relies heavily on how Zach Wilson will be. It's a wait and see for me for him because there's parts of their team I like. It just depends what he's going to be like. To be honest,
it's a wait and see for him to start this year. Like he's got. He's got a very slight meniscus tear that happened throughout the preseason. So he hasn't been put on the IR or anything. But as far as I know, the Jets are saying week three, maybe week four for him to come back. That they have to be really careful with him. Beckton, one of their offensive tackles. well, that's right. But Beckton, one of their offensive tackles, one of their best, upfront protectors for him is done for the season, so they have to try and figure out that little puzzle as well.
They're a wait and see. I don't think they're going to go much better in their record. It will just depend on a lot of factors, but I don't see anything in Zach Wilson yet. Yeah.
No, that's right. And it's that's a same sort of predicament as Tua. I think it's what can you show me? We need to try and get him the right sort of weapons to throw to, and give him a little bit of protection. And obviously defensively they need to be a lot better as well. So there's lots of improvement for the New York Jets, and you can only hope that they go in the right direction. I think this is Saleh's second year there, so. They need to be on the upward trajectory.
Next team's the New England Patriots. I mean, 10-7 last year shocked a few people.
Overachieved.
Overachieved for them. I think you mentioned Devontae Parker before in terms of departing Miami, but he obviously went to the Patriots. Their couple of big losses for me was the corner J.C. Jackson and Kyle Van Noy.
J.C. Jackson, he got paid at L.A. So that's a big loss for their secondary.
I think the biggest thing that still befuddles me, because this is a departure as well, is Josh McDaniels is finally going to be a head coach, but he's going to the Las Vegas Raiders. So they still haven't named an offensive coordinator, and they haven't had an actual defensive coordinator since 2018. I mean,
they've got,
I
they've
know,
got, but the thing that they've got guys like, But that Bill Belichick is saying that Matt Patricia is going to be calling offensive plays, who A, had an absolutely disastrous time at the Detroit Lions, and B, he's a defensive minded guy. Like, well, I don't understand this.
He won't call him offensive coordinator.
No, that's right. Yeah, he doesn't want to put the label coordinator. On
it. He'll have help. It's all, if it's not Bill Belichick, it's not nobody. I mean, granted, he's a ridiculously good coach, and that's why they were 10-7 last year. But I mean, come on. You can't be the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the head coach, and the GM, which is currently what he is.
No, that's right. Yeah, he's...
Hence why they have a terrible draft every year. They have a terrible draft every brutal. Year. I'm skeptical. I mean, they could overachieve again, and yes, they do have Bill Belichick, but I don't know if they'll get a 10-7.
Their under over win total is 8.5. I don't buy that for a second. I don't think.
Yeah, I go under. Is that what you're thinking?
They could be they could be a 6 or 7 win team.
And it would not shock me. And they've got they haven't got money to spend. They spent a lot of that the year before and didn't sort of come into fruition when they smashed out Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Hunter was okay, but you know, my God.
That was wasted million money on Jonnu Smith. Like they've tried to, they got Shaq Mason from Tampa. So I thought that was a fairly, big move for them, because you don't see a lot of deals like trades and stuff like that with New England. So that I thought that was a large get for them. Yeah, Matt Judon had a massive year last year, and he's going to have to anchor that defense again this year for them to put themselves in the right position. For them to be able to try and do well, like, Mac Jones has got to show improvement as well. But, boy, he hasn't got a whole lot to throw to.
I believe they'll be under that 8. I think 7 or 8 is probably what they'll sneak out this year.
Apparently, over the last few years, Devontae Parker has been one of the worst wide receivers in creating separation. Which is insane for somebody athlete that he is, the size that he is, that he can't create separation anymore.
It's probably because he's not healthy. Probably just he's 29 and is technically still young, but maybe he just hasn't had that step away for separation. It's not only the size you need, and
you need speed as well. But but you could still be an effective wide receiver if you're tall.
You're right. He is very tall. So
it's the new flashy thing now. You need speed. Like, do you know what I mean? It's guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Treylon Burks who was drafted by Tennessee. Chris Olave who was drafted by the Saints. Everything is all speed now, but it depends on the situation that they go to. Can the quarterback get the ball down the field to them?
That's exactly right. So this is what we're waiting to see. AFC North now. The last year AFC championship winner, Cincinnati Bengals. They had to beef up what they had to, which was the offensive line again. So they got in Lael Collins from the Dallas Cowboys, and I think Alex Capper, and Ted Karras as well.
And Ted Karras, that's right. They went all out for offensive, for proven offensive linemen.
Yeah, and they had no choice, because he still, even though he wasn't as bad as his first year, he's Joe Burrow still got smashed a lot last year. I don't have the figures in front of me, but
he was one of the. I think he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks.
They didn't lose a lot, which is good, and then they retained their best defenders, Eli Bates and Jesse Bates, in that secondary. So I could be a Super Bowl hangover. I don't know. I think so.
I think it's a total flash in the pan. I've had this opinion for months. If they go along the lines of what they did last year and let Joe Burrow just continually get pummeled, That was such an outlying season for them to make the Super Bowl in the fashion that they did. If Burrow keeps getting hammered like the way that he did last year,
that's what it's going to come down to.
Flash in the pan.
Exactly. That's what it's going to come down to. I think that they could sneak into that last sort of spot, like the wild card spot in AFC. They've got weapons everywhere. Clearly, it's got
their offense is quite good, and there's another one with ridiculous speed is Jamar Chase. But they got if they can keep Joe, I think, and don't underestimate the fact that Joe Mixon was actually healthy for most of last year, and I think that was something that propelled their offense really well.
I agree.
So yeah, I think if that look there. Yeah, Burrow either. Yeah, he needs to either maybe develop a little bit of scramble, to try and get himself away from being hit so much, or that they've invested in the offensive line, and hopefully they can do the job that they were brought in there for.
The most perplexing team probably in the whole off season for so many weird reasons, but the Cleveland Browns.
Oh my God.
they got
Jacoby Brissett.
They also got Amari Cooper.
Which I'm sure you would have been none too pleased about that your Dallas Cowboys
it's funny.
Let him go.
It's funny. Yes.
For nothing.
That's what I'm not too pleased about. Like I get the way saving his money on the cap. But we got nothing for it. That's probably the worst thing about it. So, the whole thing of Cleveland Browns is one Deshaun Watson, who signed a 5-year, $230 million, fully guaranteed contract.
Not playing right now, still cashing in because of his 11-game suspension.
11-game suspension. So,
and funnily enough, within the bye, they have the bye throughout that 11 games. So he comes back week 13, and look who's on the schedule for week 13 for the Cleveland Browns. Oh wow! Oh, it's the Houston Texans. Wow, what a coincidence.
We don't need to go into much about him. At the end of the day, we both obviously know that. Fully guaranteeing a contract like that is forgetting what he did. Forget all that. Fully guaranteeing.
He's oblivious. He's oblivious to what he did anyway. So.
No, but fully guaranteeing a contract.
That's
of that,
craziness.
To a quarterback is crazy in itself. Like, I mean, we just mentioned before, and we'll mention him in the next slide, Lamar Jackson. I mean, he is still trying to, fight for a fully guaranteed contract. That hasn't done anything wrong. So what I'm getting at is a fully guaranteed contract for a quarterback is ludicrous in itself on top of what Deshaun Watson has been accused of. We have to keep saying that because it's just paid him off and all that, but he's been accused. But anyway, I get past the 11 games. What happens from there?
If they can tread water with Jacoby Brissett, Can they sneak in if they can be 6-5, 5-6 maybe in those 11 games, then does Jacoby Brissett give you 5 wins? I don't know.
If they're going to get 5 wins, it's their defense. God damn, they have a good defense.
Oh, Jadeveon Clowney really ended up coming back, like Myles Garrett, like they've got two beasts up front that will absolutely barbecue chicken.
Decent contract too. Come in with the corner, they just gave a decent contract to.
That Denzel Ward contract is disrespectful. Disrespectful.
He's unbelievable, Denzel Ward.
Don't get me wrong. He is a good, solid cornerback. But give me a break. Like and this is going to be Homer bias. But Marshawn Lattimore is 1 million bajillion times better than Denzel Ward. And you can't tell me that I'm not right.
I agree with that. No, I agree with that. I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is not the best corner.
No, he's not the best. Corner. He's better than Denzel Ward. Come on.
Oh, he is. But I don't mind that Denzel is a good serviceable player, and they had to. I mean, like anything. And there's a few corners that got paid this year.
Getting the largest deal for a cornerback ever in NFL history.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what the deal is. It's $100 million and 71 guaranteed.
I just think they had to keep him. He's going to get it somewhere else. He was going to get it somewhere else.
I think he can get by. better cornerbacks than what Denzel Ward is.
I don't think they win the division. I don't think they even get a wild card spot.
No, I don't think they'll be anywhere near that. Supposedly 8.5 wins, but that'll only be they'll have to go on some sort of massive streak at the end of the season when Deshaun Watson comes back. They lost their first choice center and their second choice center throughout the offseason. So them up front, especially with a new quarterback there as well, and Jacoby Brissett, it could look very disjointed. And I think they're going to have to very much rely heavily on Nick Chubb for the first, I don't know, month, if not more.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to get it anywhere. I think they'll go back to the drawing board for next year, and then we'll see what Deshaun will do. That's all I could think. Baltimore Ravens, so many injuries they had last year to still sneak in and get that 8-9 record. Many injuries last year. What do you reckon? They didn't really. I mean, key departures. I mean, they lost Sammy Watkins, wasn't as bad, but they did lose Marquise Brown to the Arizona Cardinals. And they have really young wide receivers coming through, so I'm not so worried about their offensive. Their defensive is phenomenal, but it all comes down to health. That, again, for them, it comes down to health. At least
especially,
for me.
It can't get any worse injury-wise than what they had to deal with last year. They were decimated by injuries on both sides of the ball. So, they'll be getting a couple of running backs. Yeah, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards will be back this year, which can only improve them offensively. Did they not pick up Kenyon Drake as well? They picked him up off the waiver wire and Mike Davis as well. Like they've got running backs everywhere.
Well, they're clearly obviously still worried about J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, who still technically will probably not play in their first couple of weeks. So,
that's right.
I mean, it all comes down to Lamar, obviously. I know you like him, so you picked them to win this division, didn't you?
I have picked them to win the division, that's right.
I mean, I picked the Bengals, so we'll wait and see on that. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing for this is will they re-sign Lamar?
Well,
he's his own agent, by the way.
That's right. So, and that's where he said week one, or before they play the Jets in week one, they're not going to pursue any more negotiations or anything like that. He's going to wholly and solely focus on football. And he's not going to answer any questions about it anymore. So as week one approaches, that's it. If a deal's not done, that's it. It's done.
I think they have to. And realistically, he knows he's not going to get the fully guaranteed, even though he should, like Deshaun Watson. But
the Deshaun Watson, contract is a total outlier. I really don't think.
Well, that's right.
They should any quarterback. Owners. Well, I don't think that any quarterback should be using that as a precedence. They could be using that for leverage, but I don't think that they can use that as a precedence to say, hey, yeah, no, he got that. I'm better than him. You know, you just instantly give me that money. Like it's a sticky situation. But like I said, yeah, once week one's here, that's it. And from a lot of sources around, you know, you check on, you know, whether it's Ian Rappaport or guys like that, nobody thinks a deal's going to get made.
I think they have to, what he wants, and he probably won't get what he wants, but I think it's going to have to be $200 million guaranteed. It's not so much the amount of money and the length of the contract, it's a guaranteed money. That's all it's coming down to.
No, that's right. It's the guaranteed part of it. But the thing is,
$200.
No, that's right. But the thing is too, like it could be a 2-year standoff. This year could be a standoff, and then next year if they franchise tag him, which is a distinct possibility as well. If he gets franchised, it could be a 2-year standoff.
The thing is, you have to, otherwise, because they're built to win now.
That's right.
They can't get it. And there's not many quarterbacks on that open market that, you know, they have to pay him. That's the thing. They're in a kind of a corner because they have to pay him.
They're in a massive bind at the moment to try and, I would hate to be trying to do the salary cap logistics for that, for that contract.
I don't know if they'll win, but I'll definitely think they'll be in the playoffs.
They're the best team in that division. So and it'll be a Lamar Jackson driven offense. So Lamar Jackson / Mark Andrews, I guess.
Oh, don't underestimate Rashad Bateman. I liked him last year. Devin Duvernay coming through. So
Duvernay is good. Look, they're gonna miss Hollywood Brown. No doubt about it. But
got a decent load for him, as in like 23rd pick, which is pretty friggin' good.
Yeah.
Considering like they would have had to pay him later anyway. Like it's not too bad. I kind of like. I agree with you. We also agree that they got decent compensation. So we'll rip through a few teams, I guess. I'm assuming we're smashing 3 minutes, but
we're going all right.
I mean, the AFC South is a rip through, so we'll finish on the AFC North. There's a bit to talk about in this one. There's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Look, new quarterback. Drafted Kenny Pickett.
Which new quarterback?
Well, they've got two. There's obviously only going to be one starter, and it's going to be Mitch Trubisky. Like, I don't think. Look, you hear that, Kenny Pickett. Whoa, how impressive was he? How good was he in the preseason? It's like, let's pump the brakes, people. He's playing in the preseason. He's playing against nobodies, and he's not playing with a whole lot of his number ones or the team's number ones throughout the preseason. So let's just pump the brakes on Kenny Pickett.
I just find it interesting. I agree with you, and you can wait on him, but it just shows you the difference in elite quarterback being drafted and then quarterbacks being drafted. So in this team, so say Joe Burrow, right? He was drafted number one, and so was Trevor Lawrence. And I'm saying even the top three, a lot of the top one to two, three play picks in the drafts of quarterbacks will start for their team straight away. If then because they're elite, that's what they are. It's interesting that he got drafted eighth and he's probably not going to start week one. It just shows you the difference in the depth of, you know, he's probably not going to be elite, so that's why they might not going to start him straight away. But you did pick up Mitch Trubisky in free agency for a reason. You may as well.
No, that's right. Well, Trubisky was just sitting back doing nothing at Buffalo last year anyway. So, he didn't get a whole lot of reps last year behind Josh Allen. So, he wanted to get some starting reps. I was going to say it's amazing the difference between, like team philosophies. Like he for a lot of the time that he was in Chicago, he was a disaster, and he showed glimpses of what he can do. But it'll be interesting to see what they can sort of produce with good weapons with him. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, a good running back, and Najee Harris. Like it's a hell of a lot. Their offensive line is horrendous. So that could be the thing that stunts Trubisky. Mate,
I'm not counting on them this year for anything.
You're counting on them for their defense to keep them in games. TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick.
That's it. Oh, TJ. Oh, yeah, Minka as well. But TJ Watt, if he has a season like he has last year and then just does it again this year, that'll be the only reason they win. To me,
not so much the only reason they'll win, but defensively, that will keep them in a lot of games.
Well, and that'll be the only reason that Mike Tomlin will still have a record of any season over 500. He hasn't had a losing season yet.
Nope, and his whole time there. This is as good a chance as any that streak is broken. But you know, he finds a way.
It's funny when you said about Kenny Pickett in, you know, pumping the brakes in terms of preseason and drafting. Can we also please pump the brakes on George Pickens? He wasn't drafted that high. Yeah, okay, no. He did a couple
was
of
the early
20s in the preseason. Preseason.
Oh, hang on. Then he gets drafted in the second round.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't drafted in the first round, and now he's like, oh no, he's going to be better than everybody that got picked before him. I don't believe that. I really love that Garrett Wilson personally. I really like Garrett Wilson and a couple others.
Look, the wide receivers that were picked this year, you know, Drake London, he was amazing in college. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams. For Alabama, it's just not even going to be out there
once
yet.
Once
he's healthy, woo. Detroit have taken a bit of a flyer on him to hope that he can get back to, you know, his ridiculous speed and sort of athleticism that he had at Alabama. But, you know, that's just something that they've stashed him away a little bit, get him well, get him healthy, even if he sits the whole year. I think that's a super pickup for the Lions. But, yeah, Johan Dotson at Washington, like there is so many good receivers that went before Pickens. So, yeah, like you said.
Well, that's what I mean. Just pump the brakes a little bit. Next one. And I'm not a big fan of this division, hence why there's bits and pieces to talk about. But we'll...
This
AFC South.
Could be it was a dumpster fire last year.
Well, but it's a dumpster fire, but one of the teams in there had the best record on the AFC somehow. But I'm digressing. First team is the Indianapolis Colts. Their key addition ties in with their key departure. And after one Mr. I think it's Joe Dorsey. After that, I think it's Dorsey, but he literally walked in to the last game where they lost against the Jacksonville Jaguars and said that guy,
Jim Irsay,
he didn't say to his Jim Irsay, sorry, that guy there is not going to be the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts going forward. He didn't say it to him. He said it to the coaches. And that was
Carson Wentz. That's right.
He said he walked in after that game and said, there's no way that guy is going to be my quarterback for next year and beyond. So
they picked
up Matt Ryan from the Falcons, who I thought honestly was probably going to retire there. And probably, you know, wouldn't have been bad if he did, personally.
He's going to be sitting behind one of the best offensive lines in the league. So Matt Ryan better ball out. That's all really you can say. He better ball out.
You're right, because on that offensive line, while they've got one massive weapon and running back Jonathan Taylor, you know, and a very, very improving Michael Pittman, that's all they really have.
No, that's right.
It's kind of interesting that they haven't. I thought they might sneak another wide receiver into the mix, but they don't.
Well, the number two there is Paris Campbell. Really?
Who? No, I do know.
He's been
there for a while.
Exactly. He's here. He's been sitting, lying and waiting. Like he could be a bit of a don't know, an underlier there for their wide receiver core. But it could be a very one dimensional offense. But
yeah,
like I said, they've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, fueled by Quinton Nelson. Yeah,
they really do, and they have one like a sneaky good defense as well. But they also added Stephon Gilmore, who is getting up in age, and Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, Ngakoue. That's right. But you know, defenses don't generally carry over from year to year. So, that can be a little bit of a crapshoot. But yeah, offensively, you would think that they could be quite good. But I think a little one dimensional.
Look, and they did 9-8 last year. So I don't know. I mean, I'm tipping them to win this division. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than what I thought, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure I did tip them to win the division. I didn't really have a whole lot of faith in Tennessee again this year, but you know, they surprised everybody last year. I think more to the fact that the three names that we mentioned, Matt Ryan, I think Jonathan Taylor's going to have to fuel them a lot, and Pittman, if he can improve on what he did last year, which last year he was great. If he can carry on the improvement, then it could be a really good offense. But I think it's going to be extremely and that's the thing too. It's a new quarterback there as well. It could be a very run heavy. You know, rely on Jonathan Taylor early, and you don't want to gas him out.
But the coach has also said that we don't want to rely on Jonathan Taylor the whole game, but hence why
you still got to win games though. Like you can't go out, right. You can't go out there and say, look, we're going to put a cap on Jonathan Taylor at 15 runs. Like if they're running the ball well,
you can't.
You just keep going to the well. You can't go out there. Frank Reich, he knows that.
But he was the one that went out and said it. I don't know if that was just to pump up the wide receivers, but that was peculiar in the fact of, you don't have a really, really WR2. So, no. I don't know. I've picked them, but I'm skeptical. Because we'll see.
I think it'll be tight, but it's, you know, is it one of those pass the torch moments from, you know, Derrick Henry, who's also in this division, to one of the best, you know, thumping running backs in Jonathan Taylor. So, I think that could be fairly tight. Are they going to win 10 games? Oof. I don't know. If they don't get off to a good start, that could be.
I don't know. I think this division could be won by 9-8. To be completely
very honest. Well, could be. Honestly, so that means divisional games are even more important.
Correct. Next team is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, to me, their biggest addition was was letting go Urban Meyer and getting in Doug Peterson, who I've always liked. I know, but I think
I think Doug Peterson will drastically improve that locker room. Not anyone in the
locker
individual,
room alone, you're right.
That locker room, and for somebody like Trevor Lawrence to have somebody there with the NFL experience behind him, and not like Urban Meyer, who, you know, he's got the college experience behind him, and Urban Meyer's been around for 1,000 years for doing that. But Doug Peterson has got he's a Super Bowl winning coach. So
he's a Super Bowl winning coach. So they were the ones
doing something right.
That's exactly right. So they are the ones that kicked off the whole, we've got to pay quarterbacks a boatload of money by signing Christian Kirk, I think, to the $84 million. Was it 4 year, 80 million?
4 years,
84?
Yeah. 4 years.
No, 5 year.
Nah, pretty sure it's
4 years. Four, no, it's for 4 84. Year 84. But it wasn't fully guaranteed, which none of these except for one contract is fully guaranteed. They did spend $250 million in the off season. I thought a sneaky one that it came from Falcons was that linebacker, that Aloakhan, Fuasadi Aloakhan. I think he was like LB1 or LB2 in the NFL the entire year last year. I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name properly. It's probably just then. But he's, he was really good for the Falcons last year. Really good. I'm certain he was for the Falcons. He was really good last year. They also signed, so they picked, yeah, they picked up Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, Brandon Schreff as well. And I mean, obviously they had the number one draft pick as well last year, and they decided to go defensive end Trayvon Walker.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one for them. It could have been him. It could have been Thibodeau. It could have been Hutchison. I think for the longest time for that draft, it was going to be Aiden Hutchison. That looked like was going to be the number one pick, and Jacksonville sort of went away with that. I'm sure that that the Detroit Lions are pretty happy with that, because they ended up picking Hutchison. So,
boy too.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's a boy from Michigan. So, it's I don't think he could have gone, you know, wrong with either one of those picks at number one.
No.
And look, Evan Ingram's a good pickup for them at tight end.
Correct.
So he was been the last couple of years been very underutilized. Depends on where he's been, you know, whether it's been the Giants or not. So was he at Pittsburgh and he never got any run there, Evan Ingram?
It was Pittsburgh, yeah, then the Giants, and then, yeah, he just has the dropsies, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully that can improve a little bit. There's drastic improvement with Trevor Lawrence, and I think he'll have a lot more.
Peterson there.
Yeah, I think they'll have a lot more success offensively. There, Travis Etienne missed the whole season last year. He's back healthy, ready to go. So they still got James Robinson. So they've got a pretty good two-headed monster in the run game. So I think that will help Jacksonville. That will help Trevor Lawrence. There won't be as much pressure on him, you know, to sling it around the place.
They're over under 3.5, and I think they'll go over that. Really?
I got mine off a Vegas site, and there's a 6.5. So I think they'll get
really.
Yeah, I think they'll get the six. Yeah, I think they'll get six, maybe. Oh, I don't know. That's, I mean, that could be a tight division, because, yeah, there could be some awful
tight division. Next team, Houston Texans. Obviously they lost to Sean Watson. I mean, we don't need to talk about that anymore.
They got a haul of draft picks.
They did, and they didn't really do a lot in the offseason except for the draft, in terms of spending money. I mean, they did get new coach Lovie Smith, and who has praise and wants to build, and well, at least for now, and probably is kind of tired, build around Davis Mills. So that could be a placeholder. That could be, we'll see what happens and try to prove it. Who knows? They could be in a sneaky one for a quarterback, you know, one of the many quarterbacks for next year. I don't know.
Well, that's right. And that could be, yeah, and it's apparently a pretty good quarterback class coming out of the draft next year. So that they could just be, yeah, super tread water. I think their win over total is 4.5. Can they get to there? Maybe. Absolutely could be one of the worst teams and be getting a very high draft pick for next year, and also getting, you know, an absolute slew of draft picks from the Cleveland Browns.
No, they're not my worst team. They're pretty close.
Oh, boy, they're close. And, boy, they're close.
I've picked someone else. But, yeah, they're a wait and see for me. There's probably not much to talk about them because – yeah, they didn't really do a lot in the offseason, and they're rebuilding. They're going to rebuild. That's fine. Rebuild. They have to with all those plethora.
They've got no choice. You know, like, put this Deshaun Watson scandal behind you. Get it all away from you. You know, Lovie Smith is an old school coach, defensive coach. Glad he got another chop at being a head coach, at least somewhere. But yeah, I think they're gonna have some big offensive struggles this year. The Texans, there's not a lot of marquee names that you can put up in lights there. So they're gonna have to grind you out and beat you into submission if they're gonna score many wins this season.
final team in this division is the Tennessee Titans. I mean, we could start with their departures. They decided to trade AJ Brown instead of paying him to the Philadelphia Eagles, which is very interesting.
That's I think that could be a gigantic mistake.
Yeah, I do too. And on the back of that, all they did really sign is Robert Woods. So, I mean, in terms of replacement-wise, I mean, they did sign Austin Hooper, and in the draft they picked up Malik Willis and Traylon Burks. I think you said it earlier. I think despite they were the top seed in the AFC playoffs, they're a team in transition. Honestly, I believe
that. To me, I think that's an unbelievable outlier as well. With Cincinnati, like that's I think that's a flash in the pan.
At least Cincinnati have the youth. And
that's right.
Quarterback, and they have a few other
pieces. Tennessee has Ryan Tannehill.
And, you know, he's okay for now, but, you know, sooner or later, Derrick Henry isn't going to be the Derrick Henry. And he's coming back from a fractured bone in his right foot. So we don't know what he's going to be like either.
No, that's right. And
that's their engine.
The only thing that could happen with Derrick Henry is can he evolve? Can he turn into a pass catcher and not just be somebody who's, you know, as so physically big. Dominant as of a running back as what you've seen? That's right. It is. Man, his chest is wider than this desk that I'm sitting at right here. It's ridiculous.
Would it surprise me? He's so big.
But you know what I mean? There's got to be some sort of evolution. Otherwise, he just can't keep taking the beatings that he does.
They are really... You know, again with this division, they any of these teams could actually win it, and Tennessee could actually finish last in this. Who knows? Really? Who knows?
Well, let's not get too crazy here. Like the team that we just talked about, Houston. Oh, I don't see them getting too many things
Houston,
on the board.
But I'm just saying it could be a lot closer than you know. This could be spread along 9-8, 8-9, 7-10. Really?
Could be.
I don't know, but this next division is way different to that division.
Fire.
That's the AFC West.
It's going to suck that you know, teams in this division are going to miss out on the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. I've actually tipped three of them to make the playoffs. That's
divisionally, they're just going to beat the crap out of each other.
Divisionally, there has to be one division winner, but I believe two other teams can have a winning record enough to make that 6-7 playoff. I really think there'll be three teams coming out of the division.
Possibly.
We'll go through the teams. We'll start in alphabetical, the Denver Broncos. They new coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who I don't know about you, but I do not like the name. I don't like the name Nathaniel, but it just sounds weird, like, as a coach. Nathaniel Hackett. I was just in the
same. No, he's one of them, yeah. Young, new... Yeah, flashy, fandangled things that they'll want to try and put out there. I don't know. Like clearly he's unproven at the head coach, but you know he's got himself a pretty good starting quarterback in Russell Wilson. So
I call him Nate Hackett. Just call yourself Nate. Sounds good. Nate Hackett. How good does that sound?
Well, that's better than Nathaniel.
You mentioned Russell Wilson. You know, that's biggest addition, hugest addition to, yeah.
and got paid,
you know, got paid for what I guess a Russell Wilson Super Bowl winning 33-year-old should get. I guess
past performance payment.
Correct.
Triple P.
They stole Randy Gregory.
I had the exactly same thing written down right here. Steal Randy Gregory from the Cowboys.
God damn it. I was going to swear there, but God damn, Randy Gregory. I shouldn't say that. They didn't steal it. Technically, Randy Gregory, just a thief in the night, went, no. Yeah, no, he actually said yes to the Cowboys, and then literally the day after was holding up a Broncos jersey. So screw you, Randy Gregory.
Good contract, though. $70 million for 5 years.
Defensive team. They've got offensive weapons, and we'll wait and see. I mean, they've Javonte Williams. Why they're still persisting with Melvin Gordon as a 50-50 sort of timeshare. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Well, whether it's year. whether it's a shared workload sort of thing. I guess they're sort of the same kind of running back. Like they're both good pass catchers.
Oh, yeah. Have you watched him run, Javonte?
It's crazy.
He's 20.
Yeah, that's
21
right.
This year. Wilson. For me,
he's got stuff to throw to as well. Wilson, he's got Jerry Jeudy, he's got Cortland Sutton.
But that's what I'm getting at. So those two wide receivers, if they're going to do anything this year, those two wide receivers have to be, or at least one of them have to be top 20. They have to prove it this year.
Have to be better than that.
Especially Jerry Jeudy, who was, you know, around the same CeeDee Lamb elite, you know, or getting to elite sort of wide receiver.
Jerry Jeudy was majorly underutilized last year, apart from the injury, but even when he came back, like it just wasn't, he wasn't used there at all.
I agree, but they have to prove it. That's what I'm sort of getting at.
Well, they and because of that, they unearthed Tim Patrick, and then he went down at the start of this season. So it's a bit of revolving door there. A bit of a killer.
So we'll look, they only had it. They had a 7-10 record last year. They should do better than that.
I would think so. And, you know, I don't think anything, I think something that should be, you know, sort of noted as well, that franchise actually sold this offseason for $4.6 billion. So that's
to the Walmart owners.
Yeah,
Walmart,
that's right. Yeah.
Who have already heavily invested in there already, obviously to Russell Wilson, but their actual, we call it a performance center, but like I seen the Denver Broncos video when they're walking in where they sort of start getting ready and things like that. And my God, it was like, they would have spent a load of $10 million just into the performance room, not performance center. I shouldn't have said center, it was performance room of where they get ready and get dressed and things like that and do a little bit of warm up. They would have laid $10 million in there. God damn, they spend some money.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You got money to throw around. You might as well.
You're right. 4.6. And then if another team's come up, it's supposed to be even worth more than that. We'll talk about that team when we get to the NFC. I wrote this down. You'll be shocked how much the Washington and Commanders are worth. They're worth more than the Broncos.
And that's mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling. Moving on to a team that, I love this team. There's a lot of things that like this team, except for their head coach, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers.
The LA Chargers were extremely unlucky to not make the playoffs last year. If you don't recall that game that they had against the Raiders, where, you know, if they had a tied, both of them would have made the playoffs. We did mention before the signing of JC Jackson from New England, $40 million guaranteed out of what, 80, 82 million. So that's not too bad. Look, they scored Khalil Mack from the Chicago Bears, which is a huge, you know, they needed defensive improvement. And they've definitely done that in those two signings in Jackson and Khalil Mack.
They re-signed Mike Williams, who was great. I mean, great first half of the season last year, and then sort of trailed off after an injury. Yeah. But they have all the
got Gerald
there.
Everett.
They've got all, yeah, Gerald Everett. That's another good signing. They've got all the weapons there. They re-signed also I think is one of the best, if not the best, defensive back in the NFL, Derwin James. He's the highest paid.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time.
They have the weapons there. I mean, obviously the biggest weapon is their quarterback, Justin Herbert.
A lot of people are swirling money around him or Josh Allen for regular season MVP.
It'll all come down. And the only reason I said the coach at the start of this is because the fourth down decision against the Raiders last year was ridiculous.
Like I said, that infamous that we should just tie and we both make the playoffs, but no,
they should have. And I think it quietly was, well, they were talking to each other apparently, that, you know, we can sort of tie here, so let's do it. They didn't say it out loud, but you could see it clearly.
And whether then, they were just trying to contact each other telepathically or not, but...
No, but you look at the score, you look at where they are, they know that a draw...
They all know, they'd all know the situation.
And they now decided to go greedy and win, and then Vegas went, well, screw you.
The hell with you then, that's it.
So...
Yeah.
Anyway, 9-8 last year. Again, another team that I think that's two teams already in this division that I think can get over 10 wins already.
Is there that many wins to share around though? They're going to have to be unbelievable outside the division.
I honestly reckon there'll be three teams that can go through in this division. I just don't know the third one. I think the Chargers are one, and I think the next team is definitely one, and that's Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, no, I still, even the loss of Tyreek Hill, I still think that Andy Reid and the stuff that Patrick Mahomes produces, he's one of those quarterbacks that it doesn't really matter who you have there. He's going to make them look good.
I agree. I believe.
And got a massive haul of draft picks for Tyreek Hill as well. So, yeah, in the future, they're not going to be hurting.
I believe they'll have the best win total in this division. I don't know about the AFC. But
maybe not so much the AFC because I think Buffalo's head and shoulders above that. It wouldn't surprise me if Kansas City did. Yeah, have the best or pushing for the best record in the AFC, but the signing of Valdez Scantling from Green Bay, Juju Smith-Schuster on a bit of a 1 year pay you $10 million deal. Definitely sort of soothes the hurt of losing someone like Tyreek Hill. Andy Reid's no dummy. They'll be able to put Eric Bieniemy. That has been the offensive coordinator there throughout these successful years for the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 4 or 5 years, that they'll be able to construct the right game plan to succeed.
I also believe that Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned Justin Herbert and Josh Allen money throwing around. I believe Patrick Mahomes would be slightly pissed that he wouldn't be mentioned in the MVP.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He should be.
That's right.
Like you just said, if they're pushing for that AFC record and they get the best AFC record in what seems to be the toughest AFC, like in total division in years, he should be MVP. I was half thinking about putting it on him.
If he leads the Chiefs to even the number two seed, and if it's either a tie with somebody or one game behind, that he should get the MVP because the loss of Tyreek Hill is huge, like we just said, where they've got some pieces to plug the hole of that. Travis Kelce, we all know what he does offensively. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what can they sort of produce in the run game to sort of not keep things so unbelievably one-dimensional but successful? Him. It's successful, though.
He could be – well, that's right. He could be a massive prove-it year for him as well, for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
This has to be a year for him to prove that he can be relied upon if he can stay healthy. And he can be a really good functioning part of this offense.
The final team in this division that did a lot of offseason movement and is the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, after they got over the stink that is John Gruden, and they got in Josh McDaniels from the Patriots. They were in that wide receiver boom, obviously, none other than one Davante Adams,
that was a mind blowing deal that when that happens, it's like how in the hell did Green Bay let him go. I don't understand why I would do that.
It was his sort of basically from everything I read. Once they decided to slap the franchise tag on him, and they were going to, he said no, sorry, and he took less money to reunite with his old quarterback Derek Carr.
No, that's right. Yeah, the college teammates.
So yeah, he just said he didn't want to play under the franchise tag. They rightly signed Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I get that, but he couldn't squeeze money for him, so he just went, well, I don't want to play under that, and he did take less money. So
and I think it was a bit of a dictation as well, you know, that he dictated the terms on where he wanted to go.
Yeah, that's right. I think this was his only choice, to be completely wrong. To be completely honest as well. So, you reckon? No.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, there's plenty of places that he could go that he could succeed, but obviously he wants instant chemistry, and that's what I think that he will probably get with Derek Carr.
The other big signing that, I mean, obviously Devontae swallowed a lot of that up, but Chandler Jones, huge signing. On end, and Max Crosby on the other end. Jesus Christ.
Oh, just super intensity. Just insane intensity.
Yeah.
They splashed the money around. Like, they signed Derek Carr to a three-year, $121 million extension. You know, Max Crosby got nearly $100 million for 4 years. Jones got $50 million for 3 years. So They threw the cash around. You know, the Devontae Adams, his total contract is $141 million over 5 years. So they chucked some cash around. So that they're absolutely looking for a win now.
And that is the whole thing in this division. So we mentioned
everybody's in. That's it. Everyone's in for a win now.
I know. So what happens? Do they all, like, really, essentially, do all of these teams, well, can all these teams get 10 wins? Which is technically
possible.
Like
I said, all of these teams will have to do unbelievable out of the division. They'll essentially have to win every non-divisional game and then just beat the crap out of each other in the division and try and jostle for position that way, and that's a statistical improbability that'll happen.
Okay.
Not to say that it can't.
Yeah, I agree. I just think three of them will go through in the AFC divisional playoffs. I really believe three of these teams will go through, and I believe it'll be the Chiefs and Chargers. I just don't know about the third one. Toss up.
Yeah, look, I would trust Vegas maybe a little bit more, but like you said, you know, that they could.
You mean Vegas Raiders? I thought you meant Vegas, like as in.
I always trust Vegas. Like,
that's what I thought you meant. Like, trust in what Vegas has put them at. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, exactly. They splashed. All right. The Raiders splashed enough cash around. Who's to say that then they're still not splashing the cash around?
All right. So just to finish off this AFC, I'll say the divisions, and you tell me who will win, and I'll tell you who we both think will win, and then we'll move on in the next pod to the NFC. So AFC East, I think that's pretty straightforward.
Buffalo. Buffalo quite easily. I still think Baltimore. I think with the healthier roster, they'll probably look that they were a shade off last year. So it's the contract year. We all know what contract years do for certain players. I think Lamar Jackson is going to ball out, and you can't tell me that John Harbaugh, the coach there, is not going to try and, you know, accentuate that and make Lamar Jackson look like a goddamn superstar, which we already know that he is.
So, I picked the Bengals on the caveat of that is will this contract hover over Lamar this season? And if it doesn't, then they're going to win. And if it does, I just think the Bengals will win. Because, you know, we said Ja'Marr Chase for before, but T. Higgins is in the top 20 wide receivers last year. So they just got weapons everywhere. Tyler Boyd's there.
Yeah, that's right.
AFC South.
Look, I picked Indianapolis. I'm pretty sure I picked them last year. And they screwed me on the last day by being absolutely embarrassed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you know, I think they fooled me again, but I'll still go with the Colts.
I'll go Colts as well. And the AFC West, the toughest division everywhere this year.
It's the toughest division, but I still think this is an easy Kansas City.
Yeah, it's weird. So I agree. I believe Chiefs can win it because I don't see, purely on the basis, I don't see any other team getting over 10 wins except for the Chiefs.
No.
That's it. I think the other teams can get the 10 wins, but I don't think they can get up to 10 wins, except for the Chiefs.
I still think the Chiefs will still have the better divisional record too, because that means, you know, all three of those teams are going to go into Arrowhead, and that's a tough place to win.
Good point. Well, that'll be the done for the AFC preview pod for 2022-2023. Yeah. Listen out, we'll be right back in for the NFC. We'll be recording that straight after this. So they'll be up probably straight away, one after the other, for you to feast on.
Right. Everybody feast on AFC, and now we're about that was the entree. Now it's time for the main course in the NFC.
Oh, well, just because our two teams are in there, I don't know if it's the main course, but anyway.
Of course it's the main course. We've got rooting interest here. We're gonna be totally unreasonable on both of our teams.
Yeah, of course we will. All right, we'll talk about that then. I'll see you soon, everyone.
All right, listen out.